Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Jordan Malley along with Matt Peck. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media, on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. We're growing every day, new shows every single week. So any of your favorite teams that aren't the Chicago Bulls, whether it's the Chicago Bears, we have a show for that. You're a Chicago Cubs fan, Chicago White Sox, we've got a show for that. So check out the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. New text and voicemail line, it's been open for about a week or so. 331-979-1369 is the number. Text us, call us, leave us voicemails. We're going to try to wrap up the best of the last 2 weeks. We've gotten a few voicemails. We want to get a few more. We can do a whole episode of them, but the ones we've gotten so far have been fantastic. So want to just mention that as well. One more time for you. The number is 331-979-1369. Save that in your phones. Text us, Locked On Bulls, as you're listening to the show, wherever you are. So I'm solo on the mic today. Matt is traveling back from visiting his sister in Houston. So I'm solo here to talk to you guys about not only the Pistons game that went on Friday night, but as well as the Hawks game. We kind of had a matinee yesterday in the 2:30 game with the Bulls taking on the Hawks. Huge tank implications, obviously. If you've been paying attention enough for now, and I feel like a lot of our listeners out there are savvy Bulls fans, they understand what's going on here, and yeah, not another nice win, obviously. It was nice to see some of these guys like Chris Dunn. Zach LaVine had 21 points in this game. Some guys off the bench, more importantly, I thought for one, we'll get into it here as well, with Antonio Blakeney and Noah Vonleh. Bobby Portis had a nice bounce back game after the Pistons loss on Friday. So a few important notes to make about both of these games. I'll give you guys the best and worst things that I saw from both of these games. I want to touch on a little bit about Chris Dunn and maybe the implications of going into tournament time, maybe some people that you should be watching as this first weekend of the tournament is about to start. We're going to start actually here on Tuesday with the play-in games, but really you're going to dive into the action around Thursday or Friday when you get the full slate of games. So I'm going to give you a few players to keep your eye on and some matchups to keep your eye on this weekend in terms of Bulls prospects. Because remember, again, the Bulls have two picks, so we're going to be looking at a wide range of players, not only with that, probably somewhere anywhere between 8 and 10, 8 and 11 at this point for the Bulls, but you're also going to have that Pelicans pick, which I think is the more interesting one to watch. If you're watching any of these picks, you're hoping that the Pelicans somehow slide down from that 10-game winning streak that they were recently on. It was just snapped. But yeah, that's a pick that's going to be huge, and anywhere if it can slide back down into the teens, that's going to be certainly a big possibility for the Bulls, not only moving to the draft, but even if they were thinking about trading that pick this offseason, that's huge for the Bulls too. So keep your eye on not only the Pelicans to watch, but also as this tournament's coming around the next couple days, we're going to have certainly a ton of college basketball players to be watching. The first thing I want to get into, though, is this game from Friday night. So you had the Detroit Pistons, Bulls go on the road, Friday night matchup, one in which Justin Holiday and Robin Lopez both had to play. Obviously, I wasn't expecting them to play large minutes. I thought it was very funny that Fred Hoiberg stuck both Justin Holiday and Robin Lopez in for the first 12 minutes and yanked him after that. Sort of want to go off base here a little bit before I get to this game. I saw an interesting conversation going on Twitter about the Memphis Grizzlies and how they're tanking too, and how destructive productive that team has been in terms of how bad they were. And we just saw them earlier last week. But it was an interesting conversation about how the Bulls got docked for all of a sudden resting active healthy players in Justin Holiday and Robin Lopez. We had the conversation earlier on last week where I think Matt and I were both mostly in agreement that I think the NBA is getting into a situation where if they're telling people and they're telling these front offices, these organizations and these coaches that certain players have to play on certain nights, I think you get into some weird situations. And this is exactly the case. Like, they docked and fined the Bulls for doing it. They docked and fined Mark Cuban for openly saying that the Mavericks were trying to lose and it was more beneficial for them to do it after that. It's getting to the point where they're going to have to be, now that they've opened that up and they've set a precedence for not only the Bulls, but the Mavericks as well, it's going to open up things. It's going to make the NBA have to be more aware of what teams are doing, and you're going to have to press the fines on these teams because you can't lay off one team and then just press the Bulls for sitting Robin Lopez and Justin Holiday when they were actively playing both of those players the entire year. So I think this is where things get kind of sketchy for the NBA. But to go along with the tank, obviously going to play the Pistons, you were getting most minutes out of Bobby Portis and Cameron Payne. You were seeing more of those guys. Zach LaVine played 27 minutes in this one. Chris Dunn played 25. Chris Dunn actually had a pretty nice night. Went 50% from the field. Didn't get to the bucket at all, and that's been a notable problem here, I think, with this Bulls team in general, is nobody is getting to the basket. And Zach LaVine actually was the only one of the starters to actually get to the free throw line, 2 for 3 from the free throw line. Zach LaVine had a poor night shooting, though, on Friday. I don't know what it was, but 3 for 15, 0 for 4 from 3. He was a minus 17 in the plus-minus box. He only had 8 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, so, and he also added 2 turnovers. So it's just kind of a brutal night. Bobby Portis didn't produce off the bench either. I think it's kind of funky, too, with Bobby Portis. And I wouldn't stress on Bobby Portis's game going through the next 17 games or so. I wouldn't stress so much on whether or not he performs well, because they're going to be mixing and matching here at the end of the season, and you're probably going to see Portis start a few more games before it's all said and done. Now, whether or not that's the best option, that's still up for debate. Texter brought up a pretty good question and said that Lauri Markkanen and Bobby Portis seem like their styles are sort of similar, and one has to take the, I guess, has to take the back seat when it comes to the offense if one of them's going to start. And I kind of agree with that. What Bobby Portis was doing off the bench in the entire season has been more beneficial to his game and to the Bulls game. And even when Nico Mirotic was traded over a month ago now, we still saw the production for Bobby Portis. He had his 38-point game just a few weeks ago. So I don't know. I think they're trying to decide whether or not he can be a legitimate starter in this league and see if they can use these 17 games to kind of fulfill that. But it's kind of a wait and see. But I thought it was interesting, too, to talk about him and Lauri Markkanen's production. I think Lauri Markkanen, like, the three guys that should be at least getting 10 shots a game, and if not more, is Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and Zach LaVine. Like, even if Zach LaVine goes 3 for 15 like he did on Friday night against the Pistons, that's fine. I just got to see the shots go up, though. Sort of a little bit different tone here as we head into Sunday's game. The Bulls pull off a win, 129-122. If you're watching this game at all, between all that was going on with the tournament and Selection Sunday, and even watching Tiger on Sunday too as well, the Bulls pulled out a matinee win against the Atlanta Hawks, one in which I think we were all hoping that they wouldn't. Robin Lopez played another 12 minutes in this game. They sat Jerry Grant and Justin Holiday. Both of those did not play in this game. But we did see flashes of Antonio Blakeney, which I want to get into about him, because the guy, like we had talked about a couple weeks ago, he's about to set the records in the G League for points per game in an entire season. He's about to blow that away by 7 or 8 points per game from the original leader. So you look at that, and he seems like he hasn't missed a step since he came back to the NBA. And I know they used a lot of his days early on in the season, so we're going to see him sprinkled here and there. But, I mean, I would be pretty shocked if the Bulls didn't give him some type of minimum to stay around the team full time next year. I mean, he's going to be a cheap asset. Him along with David Nwaba, if you can get him on the cheap too, I think those are two really good moves to have the Bull to sort of secure the back end of your bench. Now you try to figure out what other guys are going to be staying around, and that includes Noah Vonleh, that includes Bobby Portis. Where does he fit into this? Denzel Valentine and Cristiano Felicio. You still got a lot of these guys wrapped up, and Cameron Payne as well. You've got him for another year on this roster, making $3 or $4 million. So it's going to be not only this season, not only the rest of these 17 games, but we're going to see what we're going to get next season. And I tend to tell people on Twitter this all the time, and I tell the texters too when they text in, you've got to be very patient. I understand that for some Bulls fans, it's already irritating. Like year one through the rebuild, you're already itching for maybe a star player or the Bulls to make a big splash in free agency. Like, I'm just telling you right now, that's not going to happen. The biggest splash in free agency that they're going to make this year is probably for Zach LaVine. And we touched on it a couple weeks ago. We had a full episode where we talked about what we thought Zach LaVine would get paid. We asked David Hall what he thought he would get paid and some of these other guys that are connected around the Bulls. And I would hope that if the deal is going to be done for 5 years, he's not getting any more than Victor Oladipo money. I'm sure he's going to ask for that. And with the way the caps rose, I know a lot of people are saying Zach LaVine doesn't have a lot of leverage this summer, but I feel like he kind of does. I mean, if the Philadelphia 76ers are intrigued by him and are willing to throw him some money, I know that they've got a lot of young assets on rookie deals, so they could throw him a lot of money. There's other teams that could just drive up the price for LaVine. Ultimately, though, he said he wants to stay here. I don't consider him giving any type of discount to the Bulls. He's going to get his money and get his money now while he's young. But certainly a lot of people, I think, are scared at already what they've saw in the sample size of, 21, 23 games from Zach LaVine, that he's never going to get to that point where he is a max player. I mean, if he stays somewhere around Victor Oladipo money where it's 5 years, 21, 23 million a year, I think I can deal with that and watch the athleticism grow into something. Hopefully Fred Hoiberg's got a couple tricks up his sleeve in terms of what he's going to do with his defense. But the guy is an absolute freak of an athlete. He can shoot the ball. So I feel like some of those other things are going to come maybe later in his game, maybe a few years down the road. But Zach LaVine, I think, is going to be your biggest splash in free agency. And I don't see really them going anywhere else. But to talk about this Atlanta Hawks game, Zach LaVine, 7 for 16, 3 for 8 from the 3-point arc. In this game, the Bulls got to the free throw line a lot more. Lauri Markkanen got to the free throw line 6 times. He knocked down all of those. He had 19 points in this one. He was 6 for 13, 1 for 5 from three. Like we had talked about, he seems like he's cooled off with his 3-pointer. I don't know. I feel like that's something he's going to work on to try to maybe get open this summer, figure out how to get more space. And I would hope that Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine are working with him too as well this summer, figuring out some type of pick and pop, some type of chemistry where they can spread the floor and get Lauri Markkanen better open shots from three, because you know he can knock it down. It's the same thing with Zach LaVine. I know Zach LaVine works best when he is on the ball, when he's one-on-one with a defender, and most of his shots come off of 6 or 7 dribbles. I'd like to see Chris Dunn get to the line more. That's kind of what we saw in this game. Not too much. He got to the line once, but he needs to have that aspect that a lot of the other point guards that turn you from good to elite are getting to the bucket and are getting fouled and are going to the free throw line for anywhere between 8 and 12 free throws a game, or 12 and 16 free throws a game. Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn need to both get to that point where they're getting 6 to 10 free throws a game, getting to the line and making guys spread out so they can get their shooters open, get guys like Lauri Markkanen, who can shoot the ball and has shot the ball from three with success, open all the time. Bobby Portis had a really nice bounce back game coming off the bench. He was 9 for 16, 2 for 5 from three. He had 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 steal in this game. He was a plus 21 in the box. He had 21 points overall. Denzel Valentine added 12 more. He was 5 for 10, 2 for 4 from the 3. He had 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and played a pretty nice game, honestly. Denzel Valentine has been a surprise, and I'm still trying to figure out what is his exact role, and I think he's sort of meshing to being that second option with that second rotation off the bench, where he can be a shooter and not hopefully in maybe a year or two be a guy that can hang around somewhere around 40% from three, taking on average maybe 3 to 5 threes a night. So if Denzel Valentine can turn into that guy off the bench, I think that's another pretty solid piece. Obviously, there's still a lot to do with this roster. Picking up another win too in the tankathon is not good for the Bulls. I saw a stat where the Bulls against the Sacramento Kings, Dallas Mavericks, and New York Knicks this year are 9-0. So between that, the Knicks have lost 7 straight in the tankathon. Atlanta's lost three straight. Orlando's lost four straight. Phoenix has lost five straight. And Memphis has lost 17 in a row. Like I said before, even last week, they hadn't won. They still haven't won a game since January. So Memphis looks pretty much locked up unless something drastic happens where Memphis decides to start winning a couple games here or there. It's still pretty tight for now at the top, but the Bulls are slowly sliding to a place where I was really hoping they weren't going to be this season, and that's between 8 and 11. Obviously, they're only 2.5 games out of the top five. Two and a half games back from that Brooklyn pick right now, which would go to Cleveland at five. Sacramento sits in front of you, and so does Dallas. But like I said, the Knicks have lost seven in a row. They're only a half game back from that eighth spot as well. So just taking a look at what the Bulls have in terms of the last 17 games of the season, you've got Memphis once. You've got Brooklyn twice. They're ahead of you. You've got Charlotte, who's in the lottery still. You've got Orlando, who's ahead of you still. You've got the Denver Nuggets, you've got the Milwaukee Bucks, the Pistons, the Rockets, the Heat, the Celtics, and the Pistons again, and you have the Knicks coming up in a week, and Cleveland. So obviously Cleveland, Detroit two more times, Houston, Miami, Washington, Boston. You're hoping to lose those seven games guaranteed. Now it gets interesting when you talk about competing against the Clippers like tomorrow night, or against a team like Memphis who hasn't won a game since January. You see them on Thursday. Next week, you're going to see the Knicks. You're going to see the Bucks, who the Bulls can be competitive with some of these teams. And you don't want them to pull out a surprise win in March against teams that you're thinking they're going to lose against. Like I said, you've got Orlando in a couple weeks at the end of March, and then you have your two important games, two of the last three games of the season against the Nets, who have been sliding down the rankings. And that pick again goes to Cleveland. So these are all games that the Bulls need to make sure that, yeah, you're seeing the development from a lot of these players and you're getting sort of what you need in terms of what you're going to spend this summer. You're getting your evaluation in now on guys like Cameron Payne and Noah Vonleh and Bobby Portis and Denzel Valentine and Antonio Blakeney. But they need to be creative here in losing the games that they should and expected to lose. Stay close, but lose those games. Like they were doing too with Robin Lopez and Justin Holiday. Like, you only have to start one of those guys a night. You can still sit one of healthy, active player a night. So I would start flip-flopping those guys, doing exactly what Fred has done in both of these games over the weekend, is play them for the first quarter of the game and then they sit the rest of the game. I think that's a good tactic, and that's the way the Bulls are going to have to approach this now, because the NBA has a microscope underneath the Bulls, and the Bulls are underneath that right now in terms of tanking. This is a hot issue, so they're just going to have to hang around right now. But I think as Bulls fans, and this is something I want to ask Matt too when he comes back tomorrow, is I think we're going to have to get more towards the reality that this Bulls team is going to pick eight or nine, with a lucky chance of maybe sliding up one or two, or on the odds end, which right now is only 2.8% chance of getting that number one overall pick, and only less than 10% chance of getting a top three pick. You're going to have to be confined to sort of looking at those second tier prospects.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. And on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
All right, a couple more things before we get out of here. I want to talk about, I obviously said, I'd give you a few of the names that I think are going to be hanging around. Not only that lottery pick for the Bulls, somewhere probably at the back half. We're not talking about anywhere like DeAndre Ayton or Michael Porter, Marvin Bagley, Jaren Jackson Jr., Mohamed Bamba. In the off chance that the Bulls end up somewhere in that top five, if they're lucky enough to slide at the end of this season and end up there, maybe we'll talk about a little bit more extensively. If you're looking for a breakdown in terms of gameplay of these guys, go back and listen to Cole Zwicker. And also, we had Ricky O'Donnell on a few weeks ago to talk about some of these prospects. So I encourage you to go back and listen to those episodes, because they were really good, and those guys hit a ton about these guys in terms of X's and O's and weaknesses and strengths of these guys' games in terms of where they think they might go and the best fit in terms of for the Bulls. So check those out. But I want to talk to you guys about some of these teams that are going to be playing in the first weekend of the tournament, and especially with the Bulls' implications with two picks. I think the first game that I point to is really going to be a lot of fun is Virginia Tech and Alabama. I know it sounded like if you listen to Cole's Wicker talk, he was a little bit down on Colin Sexton. Just didn't say he didn't have one elite skill to him. Had a lot of things that were above average, but not really elite to the point where he thought taking him over Trae Young. Now, see, I've heard the flip-flop on those guys, and I thought what Colin Sexton did for Alabama in the SEC tournament this past weekend, the game-winning floater at the end, driving them down to two big wins this past weekend, I thought is very interesting, and I want you guys to keep an eye out for him and watch him, especially at the big stage, because that 8-9 matchup is always fun to watch during the first week of the tournament. So keep your eye on that one. That's Thursday night, 9:20 tip off Eastern time. So Virginia Tech taking on Alabama. The next game, while you're peering over, obviously it's not going to be a huge matchup, but in terms of intensity, I think maybe on Saturday you'll get this game, but keep an eye on Duke at that 2 seed and a potential matchup with Oklahoma on that Saturday in that second round. I think that would be a lot of fun to watch. Not only would you get a chance to look at Trae Young on a big stage against an elite team like Duke, you get a chance to watch Marvin Bagley play, and you also get Wendell Carter Jr., who I think might be available around that 7-10 range that the Bulls might be interested in if they lose out on guys like Michael Porter Jr. or Jaren Jackson Jr., who's been rising up the boards. So I think if you can wait till Saturday and hopefully Oklahoma or Duke don't get knocked off, that's set to be a pretty solid matchup. You can see two or three prospects in that game that the Bulls might be interested in. I'm also looking at a potential matchup between Michigan State and the winner of TCU and Arizona State and Syracuse. Obviously, I feel bad for Bucknell, but not only getting to see Miles Bridges play and Jaren Jackson Jr. on Michigan State, but you're also going to get a tough matchup in whoever they end up playing, whether that's TCU or the winner of that ASU-Syracuse game. So that'll be on Sunday. A few more here, too. I think Texas A&M with Robert Williams, and I think another one to look at is point guard freshman from Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky's got a lot of matchups, too. I mean, you look at Kevin Knox as a potential player who could be available when the Bulls pick. Quickly, a few more other games here. It would be, I think, Texas A&M's game with Robert Williams. He could potentially be, depending on where that Pelicans pick ends up. Obviously, I spoke about Duke. It's funny, we throw the name Grayson Allen with the Bulls, but you know how the Bulls like their four-year players. So I wouldn't even put it out the possibility of the realm if Grayson Allen's around it, if the Bulls end up with that Pelicans pick at 24 through 26 or 24 through 22. They're actually at least going to take a look at him, so that's going to be a guy that probably will be there. Yeah, I would also take a look at Gary Trent Jr. and Lonnie Walker of Miami. Obviously, if you're a big fan of Chicago college basketball here, Loyola Ramblers are the only ones in the tournament from the state of Illinois. So maybe get a chance to, while you're watching that Loyola game, keep your eyes on Lonnie Walker. He might be available, too, depending on where that Pelicans pick slides. What people think of him, too, in terms of up and down the board. So there's a lot of matchups here, a lot of big schools, especially in that second round games that are going to be happening Saturday and Sunday, where you're really going to be able to see these prospects playing up against elite talent. Like I had said, that Duke and Oklahoma game is set to be a pretty solid matchup for you. I think Kentucky, too, if you keep your eye on Kentucky, they're going to be a fun team to watch, and a lot of prospects that are going to be coming out in this first round. So, and they might have that tough matchup against Arizona and DeAndre Ayton, Alonzo Trier as well. So definitely a couple of matchups there to look at, and some guys as well as you're kind of thinking about the tournament. We'll go in depth. We're going to try to bring on college basketball analysts to kind of give us a shape and a reminder of guys that might be available and might break out here nationally over the next 2 weeks or so for the tournament, and might have rising draft stocks that maybe none of us are even aware of.
Stay up to date with everything Chicago Bulls at LockedOnBulls.com and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts.
Finally, before I get out of here, I want to talk about one thing that I did see on Twitter quickly. Not in relation to the Bulls, but it could be in a sense. The Bulls have a lot of young players. And I saw this video happen to Steph Curry a few weeks ago, maybe about a month ago. What seems to be a trending thing that's happening now is moms and dads taking videos of their kids going up to pro athletes, wherever whether it's on the street or before a game or in this case on campus, and players kind of brushing little kids off and not signing an autograph or stopping to take a picture. In this case, it was Larry Nance Jr. in a picture, or in a video, I'd rather, where he looked like he was walking along campus, didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the little kid that ran up for an autograph. The mom seemed upset. The little kid seemed devastated. I don't know what your take is on this, and I know this is becoming a trending topic. I don't like when little kids are shied away, or, you know, they don't have 2 seconds of their day to stop out and take a picture with somebody or sign an autograph. But I also understand it from the player's standpoint. A guy who's walking through maybe the middle of a college campus is having anywhere between 50 and 100 people probably ask him for his autograph or to stop and take a picture. So if he does it for one person, he's got to do it for everybody. I get it. And you can't spend 8 to 10 hours of your day stopping and taking pictures and signing autographs with people. You've got things to do. So I get it from both sides. I don't like the trending way of where if your kid or your, you know, or you yourself as an adult doesn't get an autograph, you're taking a video and you're putting it on social media for it to go viral. I don't think that's really fair to the players, and I don't think that's fair to the situation that happens. So more often than not, like even with the Steph Curry incident, Steph Curry obviously said that he didn't see the kid when he was standing right in front of him, overlooking him. He was looking for a family member or something. And at this point, when guys' names are called out all the time, they're probably at that point where some of that does get tuned out. But a lot of these guys do things that doesn't get media coverage, doing charity events, signing sessions, before and after game signing autographs. It's consistent, and you know, it happens. And I get it too with the adult thing. Like they don't want to stop and sign autographs for adults, for autograph hawkers. I get that whole thing. And same with the little kid thing. I just think we need to be a little bit more careful when we're posting videos of your child just because they didn't get an autograph onto social media just to trash the player. You don't know the situation or what he had going on or what he was doing. And like I said, again, if he stops for your son or daughter, he's got to stop for every son or daughter out there that might be wanting an autograph or a picture. Otherwise, he looks in even a worse situation. It's kind of lose-lose for the player in that standpoint. And then again, I'm like, if that happened to Zach LaVine or to Chris Dunn or Lauri Markkanen, it would be a little bit disappointing, but you have to understand the situation that it's in. And I feel like for the most part, NBA players and especially younger players in the league, they sort of understand this, and they've been really good, and they're really good about it on social media for the most part. Most of the best people on social media are part of the NBA, are players or coaches or writers. So I feel like for the most part, the NBA does a really good job to interact its fans and get its fans as close as they can to some of their stars. I just think these situations are kind of unfortunate. And when I see viral videos go around like that, I sometimes feel like some of these guys get a bad rap, and believe me, there are bad guys out there. There's guys that'll blow off kids at no matter what it is, and there's also guys that get caught up in situations where they get a video and this is bad publicity for them and something happens. So I just said take it with a grain of salt when you see some of these videos, and if your son or daughter does get devastated by somebody, and I think if you're a sports fan, if you're somebody that wanted an autograph when you were little, you can think back to a time where a player or coach or somebody blew you off and didn't sign an autograph, and that doesn't mean that they're the worst person in the world. And I can understand it from the player's standpoint. Again, autograph hawkers, adults, like the players aren't there to sign an autograph for you to turn around and sell it on eBay or Craigslist. So I can understand it from that standpoint. Just put it in perspective a little bit. Your son or daughter may or may not have gotten an autograph when they were walking there. Just like I said, he would have had to stop and do it for everybody. He would look like an even bigger D-bag if he would have stopped, signed the autograph for that person's son, and then walked away and didn't sign anything else or took pictures with somebody. So I say time and place. If you're a young player, though, in this league, man, if you're trying to build a brand and you're trying to build a fan base, you got to take some time out of your day, and especially if you know somebody's recording you, or maybe he didn't know somebody was recording him. But at the same time, I can see how people are saying, you know, if it was LeBron or Russell Westbrook or James Harden or whoever that already was established in the league and is an elite player, like for them to do that, it makes sense. But for a player that's young and trying to build their brand like Larry Nance Jr., maybe with Cleveland, to blow off a fan like that doesn't look too good. So I can see it from both sides. I just say be cautious and know the scenario that's going on. I want to get your reaction to this, though. So text our line at 331-979-1369 or tweet us at Locked On Bulls. What do you think about it when you see videos of players blowing off fans like this, whether it's a little kid or maybe it's an adult too? Like, what is your stance on this? Whether you think it's wrong every time a player blows off a little kid like this, like the Steph Curry video or even this Larry Nance video that's starting to surface, or you just see players coming out of practice or going down the tunnel during pregame and don't sign autographs or blow little kids off or blow adults off for that fact and want to take a picture or want to take an autograph. What do you guys think about this, the personal space that is between real life and some of these athletes, and how do you feel about it when you see these viral videos going around on social media? And how would you feel if it was a guy like Lauri Markkanen or Chris Dunn or Zach LaVine? And I'm not saying that any of those guys would do this, because I've seen Lauri Markkanen stand there and sign autographs for over an hour before pregame starts. Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine have been very vocal, I'm sure, going around in the community and signing autographs. I've seen them at the games too as well, doing the same thing. So I think maybe Larry Nance just got caught up in a bad situation, but I want to get your thoughts on this. How would you feel if it was your son or daughter who got blown off by a player that maybe they really liked, that they idolized, or maybe this happened to you once? I want to hear your story, so hit us up at 331-979-1369. Text us in or tweet at us at Locked On Bulls on Twitter, or leave us a message at Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel. We're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show. That's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure you're following the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Hit us up. Text and voicemail line 331-979-1369. Submit your questions. Submit your answers about that question that I just talked about here with Larry Nance. I'd love to hear your feedback on that. Any questions you have for us, comments, or rants you want to leave us at that voicemail line, again, that's 331-979-1369. Matt and I will be live back on the mics tomorrow to break down the Bulls game against the Clippers and so much more. For Jordan Malley, have a great night, Bulls Nation.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.